Welcome to Israel. Why is the Middle East important? We Christians are the Notzrim, according to most Jews today. We are the watchers on the wall. Our purpose as members of the Commonwealth of Israel is to serve and protect God's people. After the formation of the world, God enacted a plan, and that plan began in the Middle East at the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And that plan concludes in that same place. The context of the entirety of God's plan begins and completes in and with Israel. There is no denying that, nor refuting it, if you are a Jew or a Christian, and the anthropological evidence verifies it. For the purposes of this podcast, Israel is both a nation and a people. That was a really great job you did blowing that shofar. That was amazing. Thank you for blowing that. That was really good. It was well done. And I think anybody who has never heard one before was impressed by that. So, Neil, we're going to talk about the shofar today. It's a very Jewish thing, and there's no record anywhere where we're supposed to stop using it. It was never outlawed in any way. So we're going to talk about this because it's a powerful, powerful instrument which was also used by God. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But we know that the shofar, I did some research on this after we met about it, and I really, you know, learned that, you know, we have the silver trumpets in the temple, right? And the silver trumpets are there to gather the congregation or to tell them, it's get ready to move, because we're moving, okay? We're going to move in the desert, we're going to move, so get ready. Okay, so that's what the silver trumpets were for. But the shofar is a different instrument. And the trumpet was blown, in my research, as it was only blown abruptly, like ta-da, like something like that. But the shofar was blasted. And the shofar in those days exuded awe. It brought forth awe in the people when they heard it. It was a big deal. So I think it's really important for us to talk about it. We know the shofar comes from a ram's horn. Is that correct?
That is right.
That's correct. It comes from a ram's horn. And there's a verse that tells us that God was going to do something with the ram's horn. He doesn't actually use it, but he talks about it. He lets us know in Genesis, right? Genesis 22, verse 12. What does God say? What does it say in Genesis to Abraham regarding that?
So Genesis 22 is it's called the Akedah.
Uh-huh.
And it's very well known in Judaism, yeah, especially, which,
right,
is the same as Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So it says here
Can I just interrupt? Would you say that again?
Yeah, there's no difference between Judaism and Christianity.
Thank you.
It's not very Jewish. It's not very Christian.
Right.
It is the same.
It's the same. Right? It's all given to us by God.
Right.
All of it.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
And so what we have here in Genesis 22 is called the binding of Isaac, the Akedah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a hint here of the significance of a shofar at some point, where it says at the end of the 12 and 13, it says, then Abraham looked up and saw behind him a ram in a thicket caught by its horns. Now that's a hint that someday this idea of a ram caught in its horns,
would be significant. Yep.
And we read more as that gets developed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a few hundred years later, when they're in the desert at Mount Sinai,
right?
In Exodus 19, okay? Something, you know, God tells Moses, come on up here, I want to talk to you. Gather the people around the base of the mountain. He gives them all kinds of instructions about what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. It's very important to God because he's introducing himself, right? He's introducing himself to Israel. And he calls them to the mountain, and a sound comes from the mountain, and it is a shofar.
Thank you. it's a shofar, and specifically we have in Exodus 19, it does say, as the sound of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, God answered him in the thunder. So it was quite a cosmic event.
Yeah.
There was this sound of a
shofar.
There was thunders and lightnings and all this stuff. And this is where God explained who he was to his chosen people at that time, Israel, that this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is a covenant I'll make with you, and so on. But the idea is a shofar accompanied that event.
And the next thing that happened is the Ten Commandments. The next thing that happened in the Bible is the Ten Commandments.
Is the Ten Commandments. And again, this was God showing Israel, this is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it should be. And the thing to take away is, one, of course, it says, grew louder and louder. Well, Jeff, as you and I know, if you blow the shofar, you get out of breath.
Yeah, you
it
do.
It stops.
Yeah.
God does not get
It didn't
out of
even
breath.
Take a breath.
It grew louder and
it
louder.
It didn't even breathe.
And the people were terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrified.
They were. They were terrified.
Right.
Says it right in the book.
They were, as would I, right?
Right, who wouldn't be?
Fire and lightning.
Hello.
And
thunder.
And thunder.
Yeah.
And the sound of this shofar just blowing and getting louder and louder.
Yes.
I would say, just as Hebrews says later, I'm undone.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Exactly.
That's enough.
Don't
go away.
Yep.
Go away. I can't take any more.
Wow.
Yeah,
I just cannot handle it. So that's the first time we hear it used. And it's by God.
And it's by God.
Hello?
God's revealing who he is.
Must be important.
It must be important.
I'm thinking if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. Why not?
You would hope, right?
Yeah. So, okay, so that's really cool. So we have that introduction, that allusion to it, to it in Genesis, and then we have Exodus 19 there. And so the shofar plays a key role in all of the festivals.
All of the festivals. And especially and specifically on what's called Yom Teruah, or the Day of the Shofar Blast, or the Awakening Blast. We call it Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
It's in the seventh month on the first day of the month.
Yes.
It starts the four fall festivals.
Yes. New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, right? That's sunset, right?
Right. From the beginning of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's the celebration of the beginning of the world.
It's the celebration of the beginning of the world.
It's not just a time thing.
It's not just
It's an event thing.
It's an event, and the shofar is blown specifically. And definitively on that day. And the way things morph and have morphed over time, because everything morphs.
Yeah, everything morphs. I'm going to tell you about a morph in a second. Go ahead.
Everything morphs over time, and Jesus alluded to that when he said, hey, to his disciples, whatever you bind, will be bound. Whatever you loosen, will be loosened.
Yep.
He was giving them authority, his authority, to make these rulings. So everything morphs over time. And one of the things that morphed over time was this idea of the shofar blasts, what type are they, and when do you blow it? So
here's a morph also. This is a bad morph, not a good morph, But think about our New Year's Eve, our New Year's Eve, in the Goyim New Year's Eve, in December 31st. What do we blow at midnight?
Right?
It's a noisemaker, but still, right?
Right.
I think it's had its origin, and it maybe was appropriated, right? Because you're blowing this stupid horn, and everybody does it.
Everybody does it, right.
Ringing in the new year, they call it.
It used to be more common.
But it's a secular. But it's a secular thing that we do.
Right.
And it's all about us making more money and having a better life and everything. It's about us.
Right.
It's about us.
Right.
But that's not what Rosh Hashanah is about.
No, it is. If you could summarize all the four festivals, the four fall festivals, they are getting ready. And the first one starts with the shofar blast, and it's telling the believers, if you will, people who it matters to, listen to this. Listen to this shofar. And it has a number of accounts in the Bible of whether it was a call to battle, a coronation of a king, the return of Messiah, all these things.
Yep.
It was saying, listen to this blast and get yourself ready.
That's right. So get yourself ready. And that was on the first day of the seventh month. That's the month of Tishri?
Right. And so that's a number of things that if you were to lump them all together, the fall festivals are get ready.
Right. Get ready.
Get ready. Listen and get ready. One of which is right after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
Get yourself humbled. Hear the voice. Then we have
Sukkot.
Sukkot. And the shofars are always blown on all of these, but Yom Teruah, that's a day of the awakening blast, as they say.
Yes.
Wake up, as we've said.
Wow.
All these things are coming, and we see that portrayed in far more detail throughout the Bible, but also in the New Testament, that Jesus also said, hey, here's what's happening, and all of it is accompanied by a shofar blast.
Wow. So we mentioned that it's in the New Testament as well.
Right.
The shofar.
Right.
And most people probably go, come on, it's not. That's Jewish.
Right.
Why would it be in the New Testament, right?
Right.
But in Luke 4:16, right?
Right.
Jesus quotes Isaiah 61 as his authority, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Correct. Correct. That's exactly right. And it's important to know that Jesus hearkened back and used Isaiah's prophecy as his basis for authority.
Yes.
So it wasn't whole cloth.
Right.
Jesus wasn't a radical who just said, yeah, I'm going to say this and
right,
I don't care. He built on...
He built it. Using the Old Testament or the First Testament.
Right. Common Bible.
Or the Bible of that day.
Right.
Yes.
And he just further elaborated what was happening with Isaiah's prophecy.
Wow.
And that's what always happens, is there's so many reasons for blowing a shofar specifically. And one of them is announces liberty in the Jubilee year.
Jubilee.
In a Jubilee
year. That
was
a Jubilee year.
It's freedom.
Right.
It's freedom. That's what a Jubilee is all about. You are no longer a slave. If you were a slave, you are now set free. This is what the shofar on day one, Tishri 1, is about. Get ready. Get ready. And don't just hear these blasts.
Yes.
Appropriate these blasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So the next, and so that's kind of an interesting thing, because that's the initiation of Yeshua's or Jesus' proclamation of himself and who he is and what he's about to do and so forth. And he lays out his agenda even right there. It's really powerful. But in Matthew 24, which is moving towards the end of his ministry on earth, right? He alludes to it again, or he doesn't allude to it. He talks about it directly. He said in Matthew 24:30, Matthew 24 is a huge end times passage, right? At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect. That is the shofar again.
That's the shofar again, and as you and I have discussed many times, the Greek has no word for shofar.
Right.
So they translated it what they knew.
Bugle.
Right. Louis Armstrong, as I told you earlier. Da 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 da. Whatever. No, it's, you can't take all of this precedent
right,
of the shofar
right,
blast and all of its meaning,
yes,
all of its various connotations, the announcing of a king, the coronation of a king, the coming of Messiah, all these things. Which again goes back to get ready, it's coming. And here we have in Matthew 24 with a loud trumpet call.
Mm-hmm.
And that very much correlates to what we read about in the book of Revelation, where it constantly, constantly, over and over again talks about the angels blowing a shofar to announce things on
yes,
the earth, and
yes,
it says, "Whoa, whoa,
yes,
whoa!" to them.
I recall a Christmas Carol picture, seen it many times in my mind's eye, of an angel with a big long trumpet.
No.
It was a shofar.
Yeah, most likely it was a shofar.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make the argument that it was one of the silver trumpets, but as we've said, those
They were ceremonial, mostly ceremonial.
They were ceremonial, yeah. And they were blown by the priests.
Priests, right.
These are blown by angels.
Yeah,
these are blown by men.
Yes.
For all kinds of different reasons.
All kinds of different reasons, right. So I want to follow up on our last thing there on Matthew 24. There's a corollary prophecy in Zechariah 9.
Right.
Okay? It says, then the Lord will appear over them. The Lord God will sound the ram's horn.
Correct.
Hello?
Correct.
There you go.
Correct.
Okay. So that correlates with Matthew 24.
So we have Old Testament precedent.
We do.
That's the thing. And that's what we go out of our way to show, is that these things didn't happen in a vacuum, as it were. There was precedent. Jesus always referred to his precedent as his basis for his authority. And we see it in Matthew about when Messiah comes back. For us Christians, that's what we believe. And Zechariah specifically said it will be God blowing a shofar.
A shofar. Wow. Now, going back again to the First Testament, not the Old Testament, the First Testament, in Joshua, I think this is the walls of Jericho. Is that what we're talking about here?
Correct.
Chapter 6?
Correct.
2 through 5, the Lord said to Joshua, behold, I have delivered Jericho into your hand. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns, then march around the city while the priests blow the horns. And when there is a long blast of the ram's horn and you hear its sound, have all the people give a mighty shout. And they did that 7 times.
Right.
And the walls came a-tumbling down.
Correct. Again, this is one of the reasons for blowing the shofar. It's a call to battle.
Call to battle.
There's a number of different reasons for blowing the shofar, but in this case, it was God beginning the restoration of humanity. And the main part of that was, I have to have Israel, the people of my promise, in the land of Israel.
Yes.
And that's what we see with Jericho tumbling down.
Yep.
And again, what accompanied that event was a shofar.
Shofar. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14, 14:8, he says, if the trumpet sounds a muffled call, who will prepare for battle? So that's referring back to what you just said about the shofar being used as a call to battle. And if it's a wimpy little sound, who's going to hear it, right? So it's got to be a blast.
It's a blast.
It's got to be a blast.
And that's what we read about in future books what we call the New Testament, mm-hmm. the New Covenant. Mm-hmm. Again, where it talks about, it's announcing all kinds of things. And John saw angels in the book of Revelation, which a lot of Christians just think that's by itself, but it's all concomitant with precedent from what we call the Old Testament. And that's what we see happening with the shofar blast.
That's right. Yeah. So,
certainly for us believers, that shofar is not just an instrument. It is a force. It is a power. It is a voice of its own.
A voice.
And it's announcing a great many things.
Yes, that's true. So in Exodus 12, it says, only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. And that's the Mount Sinai, right? And on the third day, when morning came, there was thunder and lightning. A thick cloud was upon the mountain, and a very loud blast of the ram horn went out, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And that's the one we alluded to before, where God blows louder and louder and louder. Then in Hebrews 12, skipping forward, right? It says, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning. This is Hebrews 12 now, New Testament. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to a voice that made its hearers beg that no further word be spoken.
Right. And it's totally understandable. Listen, if God ever talks to any of us, and especially the way he appeared to Israel, that is one scary thing. And I can't imagine anybody saying, well, I wouldn't be scared. God is love. God is this. No, God is a very fearful entity of his own. And that is always accompanied by a shofar.
By a shofar. Wow. So the shofar blast also is a culmination blast at the end of it all, right?
Correct.
1 Corinthians 15,
correct,
right?
51. Correct.
Listen, I tell you, Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
Correct.
For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right.
And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, where dead are raised and the resurrection occurs and people are taken up, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud command and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Wow.
So again, the point to take from this is that not only was there trumpet sounds, shofar sounds, but there will be again, and we should be listening for
listening for it.
And it is a weapon of warfare. So anyone can use a shofar, so you can learn how to blow it.
Yeah.
And it's a weapon of spiritual warfare as well, as we said. There's a number of reasons for using it. There's four traditional blasts, but you can use it yourself, and you can use it for spiritual warfare. Let's say...
Tell me more about that, spiritual warfare.
Well, for instance, we know from Ephesians specifically, it says that our warfare is not against flesh and blood.
Wait a minute.
It's not against flesh and blood.
Wait a minute.
It's against evil entities in high places.
Oh, wow.
So when you blow the shofar blast, when you blow a shofar or hear a shofar and appropriate the meaning of a shofar in all of its various connotations and meanings, you are saying, I agree with this. I look forward to this event happening. And it's not just a funny, strange instrument that makes this funny, strange noise. It is a powerful instrument. And as somebody said, I said before, when you blow a shofar, it literally makes Swiss cheese out of the overarching realm of this earth, of the evil. The evil entities, they can't stand the shofar. Because, again, Jeff, it announces a number of things, and one of which I think the main thing is it announces the coming of the Messiah.
Now, folks, if you're thinking, well, that's, you know, how does he know that? Nobody knows that for a certainty, right? But think about it for a second. Go back to the Exodus. When God himself blew the shofar, the people were terrified, and he blew it louder and louder and louder. It's going to be like that. Everybody's going to hear it. It's not just the people around it. The whole world is going to hear it when it happens like that.
Well, that's true, and as well as you can see what happens often in traditional Christian worship times. Somebody will blow a shofar, and the whole level of excitement, of intensity, of understanding rises exponentially. Mm-hmm. People get excited because somebody brought a shofar, or a couple people brought shofars. And they blow them. And so you can see that things are happening. I even remember way back when in the Brownsville Revival, for instance, Dick Rubin back in the day, he used to blow a shofar, and people were healed from the shofar. So it has many applications.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Neil, you refer again to this final blast, and I don't know where this is from the book, but you'll tell me, I think. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. After this, the voice I had previously heard spoke to me like a trumpet, and saw seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets, and the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And I heard an eagle overhead calling in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell in the earth, because the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the remaining three angels." And then the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice saying to the sixth angel with the trumpet. So where's that? That's Revelation, right?
That is Revelation, okay. And it's a number of places, but the takeaway, I guess, for our purposes here is this idea of a trumpet is blown in heaven, and it's blown on earth, and we have in the last day, whatever that is, that there will be a literal blowing of a shofar.
Yes.
And again, it's those of you who are looking forward to this day, appropriate the meaning, take the meaning of the shofar, and hear it.
Yeah.
Not just hear the noise, but appropriate the meaning. And that is, again, why God gave the three fall feasts, or
right.
four, whatever we want to say, to Israel, when he said the first one of the fall is, wake up. Wake up. This is serious business. And when Messiah comes back in Christian theology, which I happen to hold to, comes back again, is a trumpet blast.
That's right.
And many people, unfortunately, Jeff, I think, will be saying, what was that? Did you hear that? What's that?
And it's, you know, these verses from Revelation, which, by the way, folks, it's chapter 1, verse 10, chapter 4, verse 1, verses chapter 8, 2. I'll put this on the Facebook page, for you guys to check it out, and you can all read it, together. But it's many, many trumpets and many, many angels. It's seven or eight, or I mean, it's a whole bunch. It's going to be loud, folks. It's going to be really, really loud. So the four traditional blasts, Neil, the four traditional blasts of the shofar, the first one.
Right, and that's kind of what I think we started with before, is that things morph over time. Today there's four traditional blasts, and the first one is called Tekiya, and it's a long blast, and it signifies a king's, or the king's, coronation.
Okay.
The second blast is called Shavarim, and it's three short, it's almost like crying. That's what the rabbis have said it is. It's crying blasts. Mm. Then you have
Teru. That signifies repentance.
Think about
sorrow.
That.
Sorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly
there
right.
There you go. Yom Kippur, I'm thinking.
Get ready. Get
right?
ready.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Yeah.
So the king's coming.
Yep.
I'm crying.
Yep.
Then we have nine blasts from Teruah, signifying, awaken my soul.
Ooh.
Awaken my soul.
Ooh.
And then we have the final blast. It's called the Tekiah Gadol. It's a long blast. It is the last trumpet.
The last trumpet. Wow. And that's amazing. That is so amazing.
So those are the shofar blasts that are accepted today in what you would call traditional Judaism. And they all have a meaning. It's Tekiah, Shavarim, Teruah, Tekiah Gadol, and we see all of those in the New Testament.
Wow, wow, that's amazing. So Neil, there's a Jewish blessing I want you to read for us. I would like to hear it in Hebrew, and then we'll read it in English.
Yeah, so the traditional blessing before the blowing of the shofar is Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmoa kol shofar.
Which is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has made us holy with his commandments and who has commanded us to hear the voice of the shofar.
Right, right. And that is exactly the point, Jeff, is that kol shofar in the blessing is, kol means voice.
Voice.
So are you appropriating these things? Do they make sense to you? Are you getting ready? This is not child's play.
Mm-hmm.
This, the king is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The king is taking over. The king is going to sit.
Yep.
Are you crying? Have you repented? Are you sorrowful?
Yeah.
All these things. And then the final blast, the final trumpet of the shofar is blown. So that's what we have by appropriating the voice, the meaning of the shofar.
Wow. So in Zephaniah, Neil, in Zephaniah, there's a last quote, I think we'll wrap it up with this one. It says, the great day of the Lord is near. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of the shofar blast and the battle cry.
Right.
That day will be a terrible day.
That day will be a terrible day, and we're told about it explicitly numerous times by Jesus himself in the New Covenant. And we are to get ready, both to hear the blast, to appropriate the meaning of the blast, to hear the voice
of the shofar.
The voice of the shofar.
Yes.
and to understand its meaning and to be familiar with what it sounds like.
Stay tuned for a special Hebrew blessing at the end of every episode, including this one. This has been a great discussion. I look forward to how it continues to unfold. As you can tell, Neil and I enjoy talking about the subject as it helps us to get to the root of the matter about God and why Israel and the Middle East are so important. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at our home at podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? That's podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? And you can find us any place great podcasts can be found. And you can find us on Facebook using the same title. And you can email us at whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. That's whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear, please invite your friends to the conversation. You know, one thing Neil and I always say to each other is, I don't know, because it is by having an opinion, yet holding it with an open hand, that we continue to grow. Shalom. See you next time. Wait for the blessing. Shalom.